me of our mission, our specific mission in our church. You know what it is, right? What is it? Real people being transformed by Christ to bless the vulnerable. Let's say that together. Real people being transformed by Christ to bless the vulnerable. Look at Psalm 146, verses 5 through 9. See, once again, the objects of God's bias favor in Scripture. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Good words, help and hope. Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. And specifically, verse 9, the Lord watches over the sojourner. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he will bring to ruin. I want us to continue to be equipped for the ministry that God has given us. I shared a word last week about the baptism of Jesus, and I ended up sharing it two more times. I shared it at the Briarwood Urban Missions Committee on Tuesday. I thought Tuesday morning when I showed up at 7:30 a.m., but it was actually 7:30 p.m., so I got to drive out to Briarwood twice. I like to be early, but not typically 12 hours early. Thoroughly read your email was the lesson learned. And then I shared it at our luncheon, and it's just continued to develop. When you go over something and there's just fresh application. So I felt like, you know, I need to go back. I don't need to depart from this passion so quickly. So I asked Millie, I said, what do you think about me doing this again? And Millie doesn't sugarcoat. She says, I don't know about that. She was just always making sure that I'm digging in the Scripture, and, you know, I wasn't trying to take the easy route. But I don't think I am. I really believe I am supposed to do this. We'll see when I'm done if you agree. But I think there is some fresh application here for sure, as we're called to a ministry and a task that's not easy. It's not. If you go and confront these bloodthirsty demons that are targeting babies in the womb, get ready for a fight. You want to address the urban crisis, get ready for a struggle. It's not easy what he's called us to. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to people about our church and some of the things we've been through, they're like, what in the world? Y'all have been through all that? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's, but don't try to have a charismatic Episcopal church in Fairfield. You know, it's a struggle. It's a worthy struggle. We know that, but it's not easy. So I think we're going to get some fresh insight as we're encouraged to stay the course. If we'll just stay the course. I've often said it's going to take a lifetime to make a dent. And that's kind of my perspective. And I think we'll be further encouraged to stay the course. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 again. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. When he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is, again, the message of Advent is Jesus' divinity begins to shine through his humanity. It's as if his humanity could no longer contain it. It's coming out. Even John's account of this was the proof to John that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. When he saw, this wasn't metaphorical. They described it in metaphor because what are you saying? It's like a dove from heaven that remained on him. And John said, I knew it was him. So his divinity is just breaking forth here. And what did he do here? And how has he called us to enter into these same waters? We talked about there are three adjectives here to describe the Jordan River and what Jesus did. These are muddy waters, these are deep waters, and these are flowing waters. I had a wonderful picture on my keynote and couldn't find my little cord to connect it. Sorry, but that's okay. But to depict these muddy, deep, and flowing waters. First, the muddy waters. So we call this the waters of sin. Okay, they're muddy. As you know, the Jordan River is muddy. They're muddy. Jesus entered into our sins. This is His big moment. Okay, this is His grand moment. This is His coming out. He's going public with His ministry. And instead of baptizing John, which John felt like he should, He's baptized by John. It makes no sense. He's associating with sinners. It is an absolutely beautiful picture of the gospel that He enters in our hearts and He dwells there and He imputes His righteousness to us just as if we had never sinned. And yet you and I know there's still sin in there, and yet He still dwells there. That's a wonderful act of humility. And something very important to understand here is the only way to navigate these muddy waters is through humility. This was Jesus' act of humility. This is His ministering up close. This is Him not recoiling from our sins, running to our sins, entering in our sins. I believe the church is learning something, and I do, and I see it all over Birmingham, that ministry from afar doesn't work so well. Sending someone on my behalf, a weekend here, an event here. The church is beginning to realize that what works is up-close ministry. Wow, that's the way Jesus did it. Became flesh and dwelt among us. But the more up-close we are with ministry, the more messy it becomes. It's messy. Why? Because it involves my sin and the sin of everyone else. So it's messy. I tell people all the time, you want to come to Restoration and minister, come on. And the closer you get, the messier it's going to become. And so what can we learn? A couple of applications this morning from these messy, muddy waters. The first one is a simple one, but perhaps it's the most difficult one to apply, and that is refuse to ever look down on anybody. Refuse to look down on people. Refuse it. It's level at the cross. It's level. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody, including Mary. We've all sinned. If your life is a little bit better than someone else's, it's probably due to some advantages you had along the way. Probably due to some opportunities you had along the way. Probably due to some social networking that you had along the way. We're ministering to a young man this week. Rick and Marion and Linda. And Linda was telling me the story that he had shared with her. He said that he would come home, and this is when he was a kid. He's now in his 20s, and his mom would say, before he left the house, if you want to eat today, go get some money. Find some money. What would you have done in that situation? What would I have done? I shoplifted some as a kid. I'm not proud of that. It's embarrassing. I did it because of curious rebellion. He did it because he needed to eat. No different than me, just didn't have some of the opportunities and advantages that I've had along the way. When I was goofing off there in high school and my GPA wasn't what it needed to be, it took a phone call from my mom to Birmingham Southern saying, please admit my son. And they did. Why? Because she went there. That's an advantage. So what does that mean? That's a great platform. That I'm no better, but I want to share with you some of my advantages. This ministry that God has given us, it's not a great sacrifice, it's a responsibility. Just giving to someone what's been given to you. So when Trey Jenkins is a senior at Restoration Academy, and you know our goal is past 5 years, every child has gone to college, most of the first in their families to attend. Well, when he's denied access to Auburn, where he's applying, what happens? Well, Nick Wade, who went there, who had the advantage of his parents funding it and et cetera, and all the background that comes with that, drives down with him to Auburn to meet with the minority council to advocate on this kid's behalf. Just doing for someone else what was done for him. It's real simple. When we go on Saturday mornings and we do the liturgy for the preborn, it's no great sacrifice, it's just a responsibility. We're just doing for these babies scheduled to die that day what has been done for our families and our family members at the point of death. The families are always there. Even a homeless person in Birmingham is assigned a chaplain when they die. So we're just being the body of Christ. We're just standing there and saying, we're standing here at this time when you're abandoned, bringing dignity to your death and commending you to the Lord. When we decide that we're going to befriend and hang out with and bless the students at Restoration, all we're doing is giving them an extended family. We're doing for them what was done for us. I was raised with mother, dad, both sets of grandparents, aunts and uncles, people doting over me and loving me and encouraging me and exhorting me all my life. I am simply doing for someone else what has been done for me. Not a great sacrifice, just a responsibility. That's the first lesson, is to refuse to look down on people. Second one, equally as difficult, protect your heart. Protect your heart. You're going to experience betrayal, ingratitude, abuse. Protect your heart that you might not become resentful, bitter, cynical. It can happen. Dwayne was sharing with me, I was asking him to remember back a few years ago, the kids that he was ministering to at the school, some of them stole a bunch of his equipment. Not all of them stole it, but not one of them would tell him who did. And he's pouring out his life here, and he's taking advantage of. And what he told me was, because I remember his testimony about this, I said, what was the turning point? He said, well, it was, I knew my heart was growing cold. I was becoming cynical. And I just had to cry out to God and say, God, change my heart. Change my heart. I don't want to be a resentful person. I don't want to be an embittered person. I can't minister from this place. Not the life of Christ, the Lord, the giver of life. That's what's got to come out of me. Protect your heart. You're going to experience disillusionment and disappointment. You're likely to be verbally abused. You want to stand up for the preborn? Arrested, maybe your First Amendment rights taken away? Protect your heart. I was getting the kids ready for the March for Life. And by the way, thank you for a spectacular turnout from this church. You make me proud. And when I see Jim up there and doing what he's faithfully done for years and talking about having children and all this, I'm looking around and I'm seeing our church with all these children. It was just a blessing. But I was sitting there at my house. Millie was out of town trying to get everybody ready to go. And I can't give you adequate metaphors for what life is like in the Lynn household, like early in the morning trying to get ready. I went back for about 5 minutes this morning and 5 minutes yelled at one of my children. I was like, and Millie, I said, you put up with this for hours. Noah, last night, I was going to go pick up Maddie. He said, Dad, can I ride with you? And we got out of the house. I said, sure, come on. And he said, I got out of the house. He said, you know why I wanted to ride with you? I said, no. So he said, it's crazy in there. So I'm sitting at the computer, and this thing comes up about Dr. King's speech. I have a dream. And for 17 minutes, I listened to this speech. Now, I gave you the context. Kids are running, screaming, and I was transfixed. And it was as if I didn't hear him anymore. Just listening to this man, this prophet, just crying. And just giving thanks to God that he raised up a voice of love and courage to confront the inequality in our country. It didn't have to be that way. Look at the history of other nations. Malcolm X could have won the day, but God raised up this man who was championing the Lord in the gospel. It's really amazing. One of the parts of the speech that just really hit me was he said, we must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. Soul force is just another way of saying it better come from the life of Christ, from a pure heart as we minister. Protect your heart. Protect your heart, that the life of Christ may be what spills over when you experience hardship. The deep waters. The waters of suffering. He bore our sins in the depth of the Jordan. As we said, the present Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, his commentary was, he's the true Jonah who says, take me and throw me into the depth of the sea so that others may live. And as we join him, as I've stated, we will co-suffer with him on behalf of others. And just two quick applications to that. Number one, don't be surprised and quit. There's no other way to say it. Don't be surprised and quit. You may need to retreat for a little while. It's understandable. But don't be surprised and quit. I don't like to tell these stories often because I'm trying to recruit people to move to Fairfield. And this is the most extreme event that two of them really, that we've encountered since we've been here. I remember when Lisa and Dwayne moved in. The very day they moved in, there was an armed robbery on their front porch. Now, that's extreme. Okay, I've been here 11 years now, and that's the most extreme thing. They could have quit. Would have been understandable. Thank you for not quitting. When there was a murder across the street from the Mayos and the Antonellos just moments after their children came indoors for the evening, they could have quit. Thank you for not quitting. Don't be surprised and don't quit. Second point, be grateful for the empathy and the love of Christ that's shed abroad in your hearts when you suffer. Be able to step back. We don't feel it if we haven't experienced it to some degree. And when Dwayne took a poll of his 8th grade class in Bible, and 16 of the 23 had experienced a violent murder in their family, he had a certain level of empathy he would have never had he not experienced some suffering. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. He came and he suffered, was tempted in all ways, and yet without sin. Lastly, the flowing waters. The king gave up his right to lead and was led by the Spirit to the cross. That's the temptation in the wilderness and in the Garden of Gethsemane, was take the lead back. And he could have. It was that great, majestic scene where they came to arrest him. I forget whose account, and all the troops fell down on their back. You remember that? I'm just showing you know what I can do here if I really want to. And then he willingly stretches forth his hands and he's arrested. The temptation to lead, and yet he was led to the cross. One simple application is to learn to trust the one controlling the current. Learn to trust the one controlling the current and make adjustments when you have to. We're going to continue to go, to sweat, to pray, and believe that God will end abortion in our country one day. 53 million babies killed. Intolerable. Lord, have mercy. We're going to continue to go, continue to believe, simple acts of obedience. We're going to continue to cry out for Fairfield, that it would be a place of safety and beauty. We're going to confront the owner of the Texaco when he tries to put adult films in his lobby. And by the way, when Lisa Coker did that, they took the stand and put it in the back and said, "We've told the guy from Atlanta that brought it here to come pick it up." Wickedness flourishes when righteous people do nothing. We're going to continue this fight. We're going to continue to believe that fatherless children are going to be redeemed and father their children. And we're seeing it happen. But it's important for us to know we cannot put our trust in prescripted outcomes. Our responsibility is to obey and to serve. He is the one that brings about the miraculous transformation of hearts and communities. That's His business. That's trusting the one who controls the direction of the current. I wasn't born yet. Be about another year and a half. On April 4th, 1968, when Dr. King was gunned down, I can't imagine some of the disillusionment and disappointment that some of you experienced. But I give thanks and praise that many of you and many across this country stayed the course with the love of Christ despite their disillusionment and discouragement. Our hope is in the God of Jacob. Our help is in the Lord our God. Be encouraged. Stay the course. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.